Today's program has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, located at 261 Moore Street in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. For more information, visit www.robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. This week, Carolyn Kennedy bestowed the Profiles in Courage Award to Gabrielle Giffords, who has dedicated her time to fighting gun violence since being shot and nearly killed in 2011. The award is given annually to someone who demonstrates the kind of courage that President John F. Kennedy highlighted in his 1957 book Profiles in Courage, which praised eight senators who risked their careers by taking principled stands on unpopular positions. If you were born after 1975, you might be confused by a sentence that includes the words senator and principled stand. No, principled stand is not the name of an oil or pharmaceutical company. A principled stand is what you would be accused of taking if you voted for something that was good for humanity, even though it might lead to the loss of votes in the next election. For instance, a vote for a sensible gun law like closing the background check loopholes by a senator from a red state might be considered a principled stand, as only 90% of the population, including 85% of gun owners, are in favor of it. Obviously, no sitting congressman or senator has been nominated for the Profiles in Courage Award since John Quincy Adams. Jason Collins, the 32-year-old, 12-year veteran of six NBA teams, became the first openly gay man in a major professional sport when he came out publicly on Monday. Jason and his twin brother, NBA journeyman Jaren Collins, have handled the media attention with grace and generosity, as have, surprisingly, almost everyone else. Thank you, Jason, for showing us how to behave when you come out of the closet. It's May 6th, 2013. We're heading into wedding season, so it's time to get ready. I'm Brian Kaiser, and this is How to Behave, The Wedding Show, Part 1. The mini behavior analysis team for the week is in the house. It's just you and me, Hannah.
It's just you and me. That's all right.
How you feel? It still didn't stop the dancing to the theme music, did it?
Nothing can stop us.
No. That is John Lundbaum and Big Chord 5. Big 5 Chord.
Very catchy.
On our theme music there. So last week you showed your dedication to the show by breaking up with your boyfriend as research for the breakup episode. This week, did you get married for us?
I did not, although I briefly considered it, but decided against.
Anyone in particular, or did you just consider finding someone to marry?
I think I'd have to find someone to marry, and it proved too big of a task for a week's time.
Maybe one of the many men standing outside the window here screaming at us, I assume not for me, would be an opportunity for you.
Perhaps.
Silence.
So, I'm still processing that.
Every week we deal with a different aspect of behavior or etiquette. Last week it was how to behave when you're breaking up. This week we're flipping it 180 degrees, how to behave when you're at a wedding. We're specifically talking about how to behave at a wedding in New Orleans, because I am going to a wedding in New Orleans in a few weeks and I'm unsure about what to expect at a Southern wedding. Today's episode is part one, and then when I get back from the wedding, we'll do part two, where I tell all the stories of all the trouble I got into in New Orleans because I failed to learn anything today. Our guest is Anthony Lala, a wedding consultant from New Orleans, Louisiana. Hopefully he will be able to prepare me to be the perfect guest at this wedding. Phone lines are open, so if you're listening to the live stream at heritageradionetwork.org and want to join in the conversation, call us at 718-497-2128. If you're getting married or you've been invited to a wedding and you have any questions about etiquette or protocol, give us a call. If you have a story about a wedding you've been to and a behavior issue that came up, call us at 718-497-2128. Hannah, how many callers have we had in the life of the show?
Let's see. 1, 2, 0 callers.
Zero. Not one.
Not even a mom.
This is our 6th episode, and you still have the opportunity to be the first person to call in.
Now's the chance. Now's the time. Now's the moment.
I've been thinking about this a lot. It's downloadable, and everyone I talk to who listens to the show downloads it. Nobody listens to it live.
Yeah, but you think they could make an exception to talk to us and get that distinguished right. title of being the very first.
I've been thinking we need to offer a prize.
That's a great
idea. For someone
idea.
To call in. Like
marriage.
We learned from Mitt Romney in the last election. People like it when you give stuff away.
Yes, free shit.
That's why Obama won the election.
What should we give away? If you could call, you could tell us.
If you're listening to the podcast, plan your schedule around Monday at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And next week we'll give away something. We'll have to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
I don't think we can give away a wedding.
I don't think so.
That's vague and too expensive.
Fair enough.
Okay. So apropos of nothing except behavior, on the subway on the way here today, I sat next to a woman with, I think they're called French nails, where it's like one color all the way up to the tip of the finger.
Right.
And then some spectacular thing.
Right.
About
well, I think the classic French male is nail is nothing spectacular and is supposed to be subtle. Like it mimics the when your nail grows past your skin line, it becomes a different color.
Oh, okay. That's but funny. I was on the L train in Brooklyn.
Oh, so there you go. Okay. So what about your French?
It was glamour nails? Beyond the tip of the finger. So this woman was sitting next to me and busted out the nail clippers and started like manicuring herself. She wasn't quite clipping her nails, but was like clipping her the cuticle mm-hmm. and then like we were shoulder to shoulder. It was a tight train. And I don't know. I'm fascinated by clipping nails on the
subway. I've never witnessed nail clipping or manicuring, but I have seen nail polish, which is kind of toxic in the way that it smells.
Yeah.
It's like just as gross as eating a tuna fish sandwich. There's something sort of private about such endeavors. But
there's something private about eating a tuna fish sandwich. Nobody should ever do that.
No.
I'm fascinated because when I talk to people about this show, when I say we talk about how to behave, almost everybody brings up people clipping their nails on the subway. It's like the thing.
I have a coworker who clips their nails at the desk and leaves all the nail clippings behind.
Well, it's, you know, it's not like you work in food service or anything, so that's not disgusting.
There you go.
Wow. All right. So, yeah. Every week I learn something new about you, Hannah. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I learned that you were dating somebody, like dating long term. And then last week I learned that you were breaking up with him.
Yes, what you and all of our listeners.
Yes. And him.
And him.
So what have you got for me this week?
This week, he's watching us through the glass.
Okay, wow. That's not what I was going for, okay. But thank you for...
Well, it's clearly on my mind.
Yeah. Is he making any threatening motions or anything? Or?
No, I think we'll be surprised.
Okay, so last week I learned that you broke up with your boyfriend. This week I learned that you have a stalker. Right.
Okay.
So let's welcome our guest, Anthony Lala from New Orleans. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Brian. How are you today?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
Doing just great.
All right. So I want to get the plugging started right away. Your website is www.weddingsbyanthonylala.com. Is that correct? And your name, Lala, L-A-L-A, is that intentionally the abbreviation of Louisiana twice?
Nope. My full name is Anthony Joseph Lala Jr.
And where is Lala from?
It's a Sicilian name.
Okay. Are you from New Orleans originally?
Yes, I am. I'm a native New Orleanian.
Say that again. I just love how that rolls off the tongue.
I am a native New Orleanian.
New Orleanian.
Yeah.
I can't even pretend to pronounce that correctly. So I'm from California, and I've called New York home for 25 years, ever since I moved from San Diego to Los Angeles. So I'm a little intimidated by the idea of a Southern wedding, and I am going to one in a few weeks. Am I right to think that it is going to be different than what I'm used to in San Francisco, San Diego, New York, and places north of the Mason-Dixon line?
Yes. In other major cities, the tradition of a wedding or a wedding reception is more of a seated affair, a seated served meal. When you're coming to New Orleans, you know, the typical New Orleans-style wedding reception is an upscale cocktail reception with enough hors d'oeuvres and various food stations to take the place of a meal. So it's not a regimented seated meal. So you will basically have however long the bride and groom plan their reception, either 3 or 4 hours in length. It will be constant socializing and eating and drinking at your leisure. You won't be glued to a table at any point in time.
That sounds like fun.
It's a lot of fun because it keeps things exciting. It keeps things moving. You know, you can socialize at any time with whoever you choose to socialize with. You can eat and drink at any time that you want.
Okay, so this you're making me skip ahead in my questions, but as long as you bring it up, one of my issues is I'm a 44-year-old single man. So
okay.
I'm going to be at this wedding alone, and I have this fear of being seated at the kids' table.
Right.
It sounds like, is there not going to be a table?
Well, they'll have cocktail table and chair seating, or maybe some highboy table and chair seating. But, you know, at a New Orleans-style reception, you're not going to have seating for everyone.
And there won't be assigned seating. That's the important
part. So there will not be assigned seating.
Okay, that's great.
Victory.
You know, they may have one or two tables reserved for the immediate family or for elder members of the family or for the bridal party, but normally there's not assigned seating for everyone.
At 44, do I count as an elder member?
No, you're not an elder member.
Okay, good. Good to hear. So I have this feeling that there's a code, like a language that I don't understand, and that by reading the invitation, someone like you would understand what a lot of things mean where someone like me wouldn't. For instance, I own one suit. It's sort of charcoal gray. It's good for weddings and funerals and the occasional graduation. I wear it once, maybe twice a year. And I'm guessing that at a wedding in New Orleans in May, charcoal gray might not be the way to go. Am I right there?
Well, it's really not so much the color. Basically, the end of May in New Orleans, it's going to be warm. You're looking at temperatures in the daytime, upper 80s, possibly the low 90s. So it's going to be warm in the daytime. The nights will tend to cool a little bit. So it's really not so much the color is, as the fact is, I hope it's not a wool suit. It's a light fabric suit. That way you'll be comfortable.
Okay, so it's more about my comfort, though. It's not like, like my assumption was that I look at the invitation, and it's New Orleans, it's May 25th, it's 5:30 p.m., and it's at the location it is, which is a place called Race and Religious.
Correct.
Does that imply anything about the attire, or I should just wear a suit, but a comfortable one?
All right. Basically, you know, if the couple is having an extremely formal wedding, they would clearly state on the invitation, or they would state on an additional card along with the invitation, whether the event is black tie or not. Of course, if it would state that, then of course you would have to wear a tuxedo. If the invitation does not state an attire, the appropriate attire would then be for a gentleman to wear, of course, a business suit.
Okay. So they didn't say specifically, so I get to wear a business suit.
So you get to wear a business suit.
So you don't have to go shopping.
Thank God.
Yay.
Because I wouldn't have to buy a second. I wouldn't want to have to buy a second tie. All right. Well, it's amazing how time flies. We just started talking, and we are already pretty close to ready for a break. But I have a question for you before we go. On your website, your tagline is Etiquette, Elegance, and Sophistication since 1979. What was going on before 1979, Anthony?
Well, basically, my entire background, you know, my degree in college is hotel, motel management, restaurant, and tourism. I've worked for many various hotels and fine dining restaurants in and around the city of New Orleans, and I really got into the private event aspect, and that's what opened my eyes to become a professional wedding consultant. You know, I enjoy working with people and families, and you know, basically a wedding is not just an event. It's an event that is filled with emotion. This is a very happy time for two young people. And planning a wedding can be quite involved. And in this day and age, there is many, many different things that are offered to brides and grooms. And sometimes they get a little bit carried away or confused as to what direction to go into. So my job as a professional consultant is to help them plan and arrange every single aspect of the wedding. Weddings here in New Orleans are very elegant, very formal, very traditional. However, there is something that the bride or the groom would like to do to make their wedding very special and unique to them. That's different from everyone else's wedding, and I make sure that whatever that wish may be, that it's done in good taste. And that's basically what I do.
That's great. All right, well, we're going to have to take a short break, but when we come back, your wedding, an opportunity for frustration and disappointment. This is How to Behave on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org today.
You better do what you wanna when you get up in the morning, 'cause it won't be long before you're dead and gone.
Yeah,
no, there ain't no telling. Yeah, we all just bet. Just a plan.
You're listening to Spreadin' Honey by California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You've been spreading honey, won't you tell your brother? You've been spreading honey, won't you tell your sister? You've been spreading honey, won't they come along and spread some honey too? Oh, won't they come along and spread some honey too?
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
We're back. This is How to Behave on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're speaking today with wedding planner Anthony Lala. Anthony, on your website, WeddingsByAnthonyLala.com, you say planning your own special event can be most difficult and extremely time-consuming. In the end, you may be left frustrated and disappointed. Are you saying that people may be frustrated and disappointed by their wedding or by their marriage?
Well, basically, what it is, as I said, there's a lot out there that brides and grooms can choose from in planning their wedding. You know, unless you are a person, as the bride or groom, that you know exactly what you want on how you want this day to be. You know, there is just so much for them to pick and choose from. They very often will get confused, and then they can't make up their mind. So, you know, as a professional consultant, sitting down with the couple, it's not just a matter of finding out what their likes and their wishes are, but it's also finding out what are the things that they do not like. And that pretty much will help me to assist the bride and groom in picking the and choosing the things for their wedding, for their special day.
That's great. So I've got some kind of specific questions here for you that are about this wedding, but I hope that people can learn some things that are useful for just going to weddings in general and going to Southern weddings. This wedding weekend, there is an event to meet the ghost who lives in the bride's childhood home. Is this like a thing in Louisiana? Is that normal for a wedding?
No, this may be something that they're doing. Is this going to be like maybe a welcome party, like the day or the night before the wedding?
It is. I think it's the wedding is on Saturday, and the first event is Thursday, and the last event is Sunday. It's a whole weekend of stuff. So this is Thursday night.
What they're probably doing is they're having a casual affair at the home, and basically, you know, to meet and greet the bridal party and the happy couple and the out-of-town guest. So I guess they're just putting a little theme to it just to make it fun and make it interesting.
Okay, that sounds fun. Am I expected to bring some sort of gift, like a pot of jam or a bottle of wine for the ghost at that party?
Well, no. Not
or perhaps the mother of the bride?
What a ghost
you know,
like
the
to
tradition, of course, is when you would receive the actual wedding invitation, you know, would then be to send a wedding gift. And normally on a formal wedding invitation, the return address is on the back flap of the wedding invitation, and that's where you would send the wedding gift.
Okay, so I remember when I was younger, and maybe my memory's wrong, but I feel like at weddings when I was younger, there was always a table that was just piled high with wedding gifts. And now the trend seems to be that people mail their wedding gifts in advance. Is that your understanding of what's acceptable
to? Yes, traditionally you should send it in advance.
Really?
You know, a lot of weddings today, depending on where the bride and groom live, as to where the wedding is being held, you know, is it in their own hometown, or did they decide to get married in another city? You know, it's going to end up being an inconvenience to the couple after the wedding reception is over if they live in a different city, if they got to haul these wedding gifts back to a different city.
Yeah,
so it's mostly appropriate in advance to send the wedding gifts prior to the wedding.
Okay, good to know. And if I was invited to somebody's home for a cocktail party, I would normally show up with a bottle of wine or a cute little pot of jam with the ribbon on it or something. But the cocktail party before the wedding, I don't have to worry about that?
No, you don't really have to worry about that because this is not just a cocktail party. You know, this is a welcome to actually the main event, the big event, which would be held the following day, which is Saturday, which is the wedding, in which you would have sent the wedding gift. So, you know,
covered.
If this was just in general a cocktail party, not attached to a wedding, then it would be appropriate to bring a little host or a hostess gift.
Okay, that's good. So we often have our friend Rob Neal as one of the panelists on the show, but he was unavailable today, so I am going to ask the Rob Neal questions.
Okay.
do you recommend that I start hitting on the bridesmaids at the cocktail party on Thursday, or is it considered polite in Louisiana for me to wait until they're all six glasses into their champagne at the reception?
Well, you know, it all depends on, quote, the bridesmaids, as well as any of the out-of-town guests, if there's any single young ladies there.
They have to be single? Is that
assuming that it's going to be an intimate crowd, so you're going to be socializing, and they'll be socializing as well. So it just depends on whether your eye meets one young lady's eye or one young lady's eye meets yours.
You keep saying young lady, but I have told you twice that I'm 44 years old. You understand that, right?
You're young. You're young. Okay?
Okay. Ask
you something. You have hair on your head?
I do. Hannah, tell them
you
about
my hair. You have your own teeth
Brian
in your mouth?
Brian has lovely hair on his head. His hair is his favorite feature.
Yeah, but
okay.
it's
do
May.
You have your own teeth in your mouth?
I do have my own
then
teeth in my mouth.
Then you are young.
Four of them.
Okay. Then you are young.
Yeah. On another note, you bring it up, though, I am getting my May haircut. Like we're trimming for
the wedding
for the summer.
Okay.
So by the time I get to New Orleans, I will have hair all over my head, but not a lot of it. Right now, I have a lot of hair, but
it will be well coiffed hair.
Yes, nobody cares.
Wonderful.
Perfectly
I'm like
on
a,
Brian's.
I'm
head.
Like a dog. Every May, I just get shaved. Okay, so I'm going to start flirting on Thursday.
It gives more time for the flirtations to develop into
correct.
Right.
So by the time of the reception, I should have a pretty good idea of who I'm going to make out with when we all get drunk. Right?
Exactly.
That's strictly up to you.
Okay. All right. So
that seems to be independent of any city. Yeah. That's universal.
Right. The rules are the same in New Orleans as everywhere else.
That is correct.
To flirting with the bridesmaids. All right. So we were talking on our way in here, Hannah and I, about today's show, and Hannah's 25 years old, and I made this naive assumption that she would be experienced with going to weddings and having friends who are getting married and stuff like that, and she said she doesn't have very many friends who've gotten married. And I, you know, we all know that people are getting married later and later as time goes on. What's your experience now? Like, what's the peak for what age people are pairing off?
Well, basically, Brian, this is a really, really good question that you have. You know, most of my clients, Brian, are college-educated, professional young men and women. You know, they're in their late 20s, their early 30s. Their education is behind them. They've already been working, you know, a couple of years at their profession. And, you know, I'm planning and arranging everything for the wedding directly with the couple. And in most cases, the couple themselves are actually paying for the wedding.
Are you saying that it used to be that you would be dealing with the parents?
Well, traditionally, as you well know, usually it is the bride's parents who pay for the wedding. In most cases, it can be the bride's parents who I'll be working with, as well as the bride. In some cases, I'm working with the bride and groom. But, you know, in this day and age, to get a good college education is quite costly. A lot of young couples that would like to get married are basically in debt with student loan debt or within serious credit card debt, you know, in trying to get an education. So before they can make a commitment to each other, they need to get good jobs and start paying off this debt before planning a wedding. So couples today are very much older,
yeah, maybe,
you know, getting
married.
That's a
good reason why, yeah.
I have absolutely no idea what the answer to this question is. How much money do people spend on a wedding in New Orleans? I mean, the sort of people who hire a wedding planner like you are spending some serious money on their wedding.
Well, basically, I can tell you what, so to speak, the polls have casted here in New Orleans from various bridal websites. The average New Orleans bride, okay, can spend somewhere around $30,000 to $35,000 on a wedding. Now, that can mean anything. You have no idea how large the wedding is or how small the wedding is, how simple or how elaborate the wedding is. Most of the weddings that I do, Brian, are very elegant, formal, traditional. They're very upscale. My weddings go way beyond the $30,000 to $35,000 price budget.
Way beyond. Is that as far as you want to go, or can you get more specific than that?
Well, I mean,
like, is $100,000
normal? I can
normal?
Give you an average.
Uh-huh.
You know, a first class wedding for around 100 people could run you around $40,000 to $45,000.
Oh, that's not as bad as I expected.
Well, we're not as expensive as New York City. Basically, you know, I've had the opportunity to plan special events in New York, and special events in New York run about twice as much as what they run here in New Orleans.
Yeah, like dinner for 40 people will run you $40,000.
Right. Correct. Or kindergarten, private kindergarten will run you $45,000.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, your major cities like Miami, New York, Chicago, L.A., you're almost twice as expensive as what can be done here in New Orleans.
Okay, so we're running out of time here. Time flies when you're getting great information. I have a question for you, Anthony, about bridesmaids' dresses. Every woman I know complains constantly about – okay, not constantly. That's an exaggeration. Everyone I know complains a lot about all the bridesmaids' dresses that they have to buy for their friends' weddings that
being
are expensive
ugly.
And they're ugly. They make everybody look ridiculous. Why is it that every woman complains about that until she gets married and then she makes her friends do exactly the same thing?
Right. Well, basically what happens in most cases, the bride who chooses the bridesmaid's dress is going to choose a dress that looks good on her. Unfortunately, yes, it does look good on her.
But it makes her friends look like
sausages. If she has 5, 6, or 7 bridesmaids, you have 5, 6, or 7 young ladies who that particular dress may not look good on them.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and
it usually makes one look good.
The next thing is that bridesmaids' dresses, price-wise, run the gamut. You can find them from inexpensive to very expensive. And so in most cases, the bride is trying to watch the budget in choosing a dress that the five, six, or seven bridesmaids can afford to buy.
I always thought that it was the bride just wanted to make sure that she was the best-looking thing there, and so she made them buy dresses that made the bridesmaids
well,
look not
the bride,
as good as
you know,
her.
In most cases, if the bride is traditional, she's going to go after a lovely white or an off-white gown. And, of course, you know, the whole look, the whole style is altogether different than what she's going to put on the bridesmaids. The bridesmaids are going to wear a dress of some color. Yeah. And, of course, you know, it may be the bride's favorite color, or she may go with what is the in color, what she's finding and seeing in all the magazines and the websites.
Well, I wish we had time to get into all of that, and I wish we had time to get into the color of the bride's dress and whether that reflects her virginity or not. But sadly, there's not enough time today. So I'm going to I'm going to say what Rob would say in this situation, which is that the only good thing about bridesmaids' dresses is that they're usually so ugly that the bridesmaids are happy to take them off at the first opportunity.
That's usually the case. You'll never see them wear it again.
We miss you, Rob. All right, well, that's all the time we have today. Thanks to the woman who will someday make her bridesmaids wear beautiful dresses, making the evening more difficult for all the single men at her wedding, Hannah Howard.
But I love my friends.
Yes. The How to Behave theme is courtesy of John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord. Check them out at BigFiveChord.com. Thank you so much to Anthony Lala. WeddingsByAnthonyLala.com.
And thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much for being with us. Thanks to Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show. You can always find episodes of How to Behave and lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org. If you'd like to learn more about the wedding I'm attending, you can visit www.liveanddavid.com. I'm Brian Kaiser, and take my advice. Always travel with a few pots of jam, just in case. This is How to Behave on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.